welcome to Meltdown Comics in Hollywood, California. From the Kodak Theater in Hollywood and the 174th Annual Academy Awards, this is Harmontown. Harmontown is once again in session. Please welcome the chairman of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon!
Thank you. Thanks for coming out. It's Oscar night. It's not... you shouldn't be expected to be here, and you're heroic for being here.
We have a heroically medium sized audience.
Yeah. Are the Oscars still going on right now? Do we?
I saw 17 fat guys in tuxedos walking down the road, which means it just let out, or they just said fuck it.
Well, those guys, yeah, they're done. Like the award for best fat guy, they're like fuck it. But there's probably still a couple as we're up here on stage right now.
Are they currently running right now?
Yeah.
Do we know any biggies? Can we? I won't watch it. Do we know?
Who wants to be our live? All right, Tyler.
Tyler.
Tyler's put up with his fair share of shit. He's always got his iPhone. Tyler, get out your Oscar app and let us know when the best director, best movie, yeah, as they come in. What a fucking... I'm so glad I missed the In Memoriam this year. That's something I missed, because what a fucking... okay, so let's start with that. Let's start with this really sad shit. Harold Ramis has shuffled... Yeah, well... you guys didn't do anything wrong. I just think that's a funny way to mourn.
I think that was just polite.
No, I know.
Groaning.
They didn't do anything wrong. It's just funny how we sound. It's funny how we behave. I never met Harold Ramis. This is nothing. Family members of mine have died that I have not. I just Asperger it out. Like, I don't fucking care. Like, I have talked to grandfathers on the phone the night before they went into surgery that they may or may not survive. And I have talked to them and gone, good luck in that surgery, and found out they didn't make it and was like, well. And that's just a fact. Laid up against the fact that I was, when I found out through Twitter that Harold Ramis died, my knees buckled, and I sat on a piece of flagstone on a sidewalk in Burbank, and I know that this is all about me. I know because I don't know this person. He's a celebrity. He's a stranger, but he was an important celebrity to me and to so many people, and I wept. Publicly, not publicly like I was performing, I wept in public. I wept on a sidewalk in Burbank, tears running down my face for about 15 minutes. I was late to my next appointment. You hear that, Harold Ramis?
So you felt more connected to a person that you never met than to grandfathers who you had.
I don't know. I think it's important. The important thing about that is that when people die, when celebrities die especially, they're symbolic. They spend their lives symbolically. Their deaths are symbolic too. As a writer, most of my heroes I choose very well because they commit suicide and you don't mourn them. They mourn themselves and then they kill themselves. My heroes, Spalding Gray, Hunter Thompson, like they do themselves in one way or another. And in fact, Philip Seymour Hoffman like fits into that category in a small way. Like the people that are really passionate. People that really, like, they're incredible. Yeah, they leave too soon, but there's something comforting about or something that you don't have to deal with because if they pursue this sort of brightly lit path. Harold Ramis was not going down that path. 69 is too young to die for a man who wrote truly, like,
where were
every
you?
Comedy
you,
that we've...
I remember being in the theater for Ghostbusters. Do you remember where you
yes,
were?
Yes, what? Yes, yes. Mike Olenberg's 12th birthday, we went to see Ghostbusters. And I had no idea. Back then, you would in Milwaukee, there was no internet or anything. You'd
but
see
you were, a, what, 10, 11? You must have been
yeah, younger. 11 or something like yeah. that. You'd go to see, you'd see a poster outside to see a bunch of guys with some Ghostbuster clothes on. You go in, you pay your ticket, you sit there. Unbelievable. But, I mean, talk about Groundhog Day, Caddyshack, everything.
Caddyshack, motherfucker.
The meatballs,
list. Yeah.
You don't want to defile anybody's memory by comparing them to people, but the extent to which we mourned John Hughes, like, that means that we have to really observe the incredible vacuum that is left by Harold Ramis, because his movies were we quote them always, like we all of his jokes, all of his dialogue. And yet, you can't find a movie that he ever wrote that had any toxicity to it. There was never any. Some of them were sillier than others. Some of them were dumb. But in every single one of them, the people that were heroes were the people that were underestimated. They were people versus the system. And I think the thing that made me really start weeping on a sidewalk in Burbank was. It was totally narcissistic because I never even thought about it, and I think that's a beauty. It's such a testament to his work, is that he just fit like a brick into a wall of all of our lives. He was just and then only when it comes out do you realize what's missing, and only when you think about what that means to you do you realize something that you were holding on to. In my case, I was holding on to this idea that the good guys could live forever. And I didn't count myself among them. I didn't. I figured I would be one of those other guys. But I also thought that the good guys could live for at least 100 years, or, you know, if not forever. I thought that the guys that just made you feel good, I thought that they could earn their way to some form of immortality or super mortality. And it's weird at 69 for somebody of that caliber to die. Anyway, so I sat on a fucking like sidewalk. I don't know of any celebrity that ever died that I ever wept for, and I'm crying now talking about it. It's it's all personal. It's all weird. For some cosmic mother to come to you and say to you, you can't have that blanket anymore, and take it away, and for you to suddenly realize there was a blanket there. I never knew I had it. I didn't know that I thought that you could write your way around death. I didn't know that I thought that Harold Ramis was going to live forever, and then he was gone. It was a gust of air, horrible, like yeah. weird narcissistic fit that I had outside hat shop.
I'm afraid to even like you your eyes are red and watery. Like I, if I start talking about it, I may cry for the same reasons you're saying, and also like people that I look up to. I didn't realize, like you, looked up to him. The eulogies he got are unlike anybody's I've ever, like there was a certain kind of eulogizing that went on for Harold where people were like he affected people in a very specific way. Like it's really, really sad. But that he did achieve immortality in that sense, you know.
Well, of course, yeah, but that's, you know, we want him to taste waffles for 40 extra years. Like he did, I thought that he would outlive me. I didn't know that I thought that. I thought that when I died, the world I left would have an old Harold Ramis in it. I really did. I didn't know that I thought that, but I really thought that. And it's a strange thing. You guys are 25, and you've got your Jared Leto, and you should hang on to him. But what if the world takes him tomorrow?
what if the world did, and this podcast drops moments before?
Jared Leto began tonight's Oscars. In an amazing fashion. I
went to an Academy Awards once. I was getting, if I told the story, I was getting my hair cut like years ago. Well, it would have been the one where Halle Berry won Best Actress and Sidney Poitier was there. And I think it was right after 9/11. Yeah, 2001, 2002. Yeah, whatever the one, the Academy Awards right after the planes hit the buildings. And
oh, that was 9/11.
No, the Academy Awards weren't on 9/11.
Oh. Sorry, you were trying to remember a date, and you were. I was. Can I help?
So I was going to. I hope I haven't told this story before. I was going to get my haircut, and I, as I'm walking up to the back door of the place I get my haircut for many years, I realized, oh, it's Sunday. Like, this guy's not even open on Sunday. What the fuck am I thinking? And also, why am I walking up without an appointment? And I walk in, and as I'm walking the door, like, oh, it's Sunday. He won't be open. But the door is open, and it's my friend Bob, the stylist, and he's there. And he's cutting one woman's hair, and she has two gowns hung next to her where she's getting her hair cut. One beautiful white gown and one beautiful black gown, and she's getting her hair cut. And I've never seen these two before. I've never seen this woman before. And I go, oh, Bob, I'm sorry. Like, it's not only Sunday, it's Academy Awards Sunday. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. And he goes, Jeff, hang on. And the woman whispers something in his ear. And he goes, Jeff, what are you doing tonight? And I go, nothing. He goes, do you want to go to the Academy Awards? I was like, what? He goes, her date just backed out. She has no date. And she was... I won't give the specifics. She was she had been nominated for an award as a technical Academy Award for a film in the 90s. So she's allowed to go to the Academy Awards. If I say the movie, you'll be able to triangulate who she is, and I won't be able to talk shit about her for the rest of the story.
She did all the props for 9.5 weeks. She was the reason why you feel like that's Mickey Rooney's cum.
It was this
Mickey
lady.
Rooney.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah. The reason why you feel like Mickey Rourke's cum is Mickey
because
Rooney.
It was Mickey Rooney.
It's because it's actually Mickey Rooney. There
was a woman.
This woman was in charge of milking him. Milking Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, coaxing Mickey Rooney's 80-year-old cum out of him.
That was an important part of that film.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, Mickey Rourke. I'm sure it's going to be white and frothy.
It had
to be. So jaundiced.
It had to be.
Like semi-transparent.
No, it had to be Mickey Rooney's cum because only Mickey Rooney's cum sparkles like that.
Yeah, with the sparkles of showbiz.
Yeah, on 35mm, no cum sparkles like old Mickey Rooney, 80-year-old cum. So I went with her, and she got drunk. She got so drunk, I was embarrassed, and she tried to schmooze everybody. It was the fucking worst night. However, it was the Oscars where Woody Allen was there, and Sidney Poitier was there. And, like, I just cried the whole goddamn time because it was so amazing. And also, the in memoriam thing always gets you. But like you said, this one would have been
a real railroad train for two reasons I can name. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about these electricians that died, but I know that.
Anyone in the crowd know who else would have been like
Shirley Temple?
Shirley Temple
died this year.
Yeah.
Sid Caesar. Sid Caesar died.
Yes.
Jesus Christ on a cracker.
Sid Caesar.
Okay, so I wanted to do this thing tonight. I was just thinking the green right before we went on. I don't know how this will work. But, well, let me explain that later, actually, because once I explain it, we'll start doing it. But let me see if there's anything else.
Have you guys ever watched Youngsters in the Crowd? Have you guys watched Sid Caesar's, your show of shows?
Yes.
Yeah, like that to me, like I was on a tour bus.
The guy that said yes was so old. You could tell from his voice. Yes. At least 29.
Yeah, so that was.
Yes.
That was Carl Reiner.
I drink wine out of a box.
But that shit is funny. That like Sid Caesar. Oh my lord! And also, people ask like, well, who are the funniest women you know? Like for me, Imogene Coca. I don't know if you guys don't know her. We know her as the as grandma on like Vacation with your pal Chevy. But Sid Caesar, your show of shows. Holy smoke. That show is funny.
Everybody watch it. Download the holotapes and watch it. All right. So here comes the
You got better things to do.
Yeah. Well, I do.
You're still crying. You're still crying.
I'm
about
still
Harold.
Crying about Harold Ramis, and you're fucking talking about Imogene Coca. Fucking. No, I don't. I'm not.
You've never cried about another star passing before Harold Ramis?
Now, I got bent out of shape about Spalding Gray, and I got bent out of shape about Hunter S. Thompson. But the reason I got bent out of shape is that I felt like, at the risk of sounding incredibly presumptuous, and not because I equate myself with these men, but because I feel a certain relationship to them. I feel like maybe I'm a certain sub-breed of the human species. I feel like there's a confirmation there when these guys do... yeah, there's just a part of you that thinks, like, what is this sickness called life, and how do you get out of it? How do you cure it? And the guys that you really look up to, when they take that way out, I just, you know, I don't want to hear, you know, bums me out. All right. But you don't have to mourn, because they fucking took off. They said goodbye. Like, those are the friends I like. I like an Irish goodbye. But Harold Ramis, too young, too friendly.
Didn't Hunter do the thing where he killed himself, but also, like, in the kitchen where his family had to fucking scoop him up and shit? Like, don't do that. If you're going to blow your brains out, like, do it in a fucking, like, in a plastic-lined room with a team of professionals get to clean you up before your fucking daughter comes out.
All right. Anyways, all right. So a couple quick things before I want to do an experiment tonight. I don't know if it'll work at all, but it's Oscar night. I did this. I went in. Did I tell you guys I did this. I went in and did the D&D book on tape thing.
Yeah. I did it.
Yeah. I went into a little booth and I read a story from the point of view of Dizzd Dwarden, a famous dark elf from the underworld who walks the surface world and who doesn't want to be like other drow and is like, seems like kind of a Vulcan character, and he has little adventures, and I'm him reading the story. And then part of the story, he runs into a goblin, and the engineer told me, he's like, you just go in, and the engineer goes, look, here's, if you run into a word, you don't know how to say it, I'll pull up a thing that is like a recording of a guy. So you go like, I went through the halls of Mithra, all right, fuck it. And then you just hear in your headphones, Mithralerdor. I went through the halls of Mithralerdor and I did the thing. But then the guy also said, like, you know, you might encounter a goblin or two. You don't have to get too fancy. I knew what he meant. I knew that Ice-T and David Duchovny probably fucking put too much mustard on it when they ran into a goblin. I knew what he meant. I was like, I don't want to do that. I can imagine David Duchovny, like, mustering a fucking goblin, but I'm...
You mean David Duchovny, right?
David Duchovny, motherfucking Duchovny! Who we still, I mean, maybe, who knows? Can we get him over here? But
Duchovny on Harmontown.
But I just found myself naturally, I was reading the story, and I was into the story, and it was like, I pulled my bowstring back tight. The goblin looked at me, his leathery lips hissing in the white Middle-earth sun. Please, oh master! Like, that's the voice I did. I did kind of a, what are you gonna do? And the engineer was like, nice. He was into it. And I went through the whole thing. It was like 52 pages. I did it in a couple hours, probably $120. And he said I was the best. He said, because I understood the story. So I just picture Ice-T being like, I was, oh, all right, so go across the river, my spirit animal followed me. What? I don't know. Fucking.
This shit doesn't track.
But I was like into it, because
I attacked the
Feld Ogre, and then I would go back, and he was like, no, it's fine. I said, no, but the Feld Ogre is a different ogre. I should have stressed Feld. But was the Feld Ogre? I can see in my head. I know which ogre is where. So when you buy that story from audible.com.
What's the story called?
I don't know. Days and Nights of a Fucking Dark Elf. I don't know.
The White Middle Earth Sun. Is that...
I don't know. It's this character Drizzt Do'Urden. He's like apparently the most written about D&D character. I don't know. And we talked about this. Like, Will Wheaton and David Duchovny did all this shit. I feel like I'm doing a commercial
chance,
now.
Any chance that they would have to do pickups where you and Ice-T and Duchovny would be in the same booth?
We all together? Have to come in?
Yeah.
That would be the amazing thing if Ice-T would play some of the ogres or the farmers.
Yeah,
that's like,
how you do
hey,
it.
Man, we're looking for these ogres. And I drew my bowstring back. Why are you drawing it back now? Because it's got a +2. Under normal conditions, or do you have to save versus ogre enchantment? Good point. Good point.
In my largest fantasies, Spencer is the dungeon master, and you, Duchovny, and Ice-T are on a campaign together. That would be,
yeah.
I mean, that would be a fucking doozy. Yeah. Because Ice-T would be like, I draw my bowstring back, especially, well, you don't have a bow. Well, you, what the?
Oh, fuck this.
Yeah. There you go. Well, like, Spencer would just dispense.
Like, he'd, like, start rifling through my shit. Like, it'd, like I, and I'd go, I'd catch him, and he'd go, it's not, it, you know, it's not business, it's personal, or whatever he'd say. All right, so one more piece of celebrity gossip. Stephen Colbert loves Community. I just wanted to tell you that. All right. Who cares? He didn't say he loves Harmontown, so what do we
yeah, care? Fuck him.
Dino went to New York. He hung out with his old buddies, Louis C.K. and Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, I texted Dino Stamatopoulos, and I said, are you back in town yet? He goes, no. He goes, but I am going to the Russian Tea Room right now to have dinner with Colbert. And it was right at the time, like it was mid-afternoon here, which means Colbert had just taped. And they met at the Russian Tea Room. And sat down like my dinner with Andre.
And Dino got to have a real Liam Neeson Taken father fantasy because his daughter, who is now, what, 15, 16, which is weird that she's old enough now to be a Colbert fan, that he took her to see Colbert. And that during the warm-up, Colbert, somebody, some snarky gentleman said, like, do you love me more than anything or something? And Colbert said, no, I love this guy more than anything, and pointed at Dino and then started telling stories about Dino in front of his daughter, who's obligated to hate him, you know, but who is a big fan of Colbert and is, you know, that's a cool story for a dad of a teenage daughter. All right, anyways, what do you guys care? What the fuck do you care? So it's Oscar night. It's Oscar night. Tyler, Oscar update.
John Ridley wins best adapted screenplay for 12 Years a Slave.
All right, best screenplay, 12 Years a Slave.
Best adapted screenplay. Spike Jonze won best screenplay. Yeah.
Sweet! Oh! Fucking, that's good. Great.
Spike Jonze
for her.
I haven't seen but half of the nominated like major features. I really liked her. I thought that was...
It's fantastic. Yeah. You know the great thing? The fucking Oscars, they let you down every year. It's just a pageant of goddamn garbage bullshit. But the category of best original screenplay, like, it's never... I have never had a problem with it. Like it always is actually the best original screenplay. Because at least the one that was nominated.
Because that's the award that you're only going to win, probably.
I'm going to adapt. I'm going to adapt your life.
But I haven't written my
life.
It's
going to be called 12 Years of Fuck Face. I don't know when we became an old... such an old school comedy team.
12 Years of Fuck Face. All right, we were having drinks at the drawing room earlier.
Yes, we were. That's part of the thing is that it's Oscar day, and we've been drinking since 11 a.m.
No, but I took a big nap, so I'm fine now.
But no, like, so did I. But I was awakened from my slumber by Jared Leto.
Like in the house.
Well, basically, like I passed out on my bed. Aaron was having a couple people over for Oscars, so it's playing in the other room. Jared Leto wins for best whatever, an adaptation of a person. Okay.
Best adaptation of an actor.
So his speech, like it's just very tempered, sapphire eyes, his beautifully sculpted eyebrows, his wonderful flowing long river runs through it hair.
Were you awake during this? Or was this
no, I just, like... this is what I see in my dreams, but I was stirred because I was laying, I'm just hearing Oscar tripe, I don't care. And then he goes like, thank you so much. This award is important, and it's heavy in my hand, and it's great. It's a wonderful award
for its heaviness.
And then he changes gears. He shifts out his pelvis, and he goes, you know, in 1971, there was a thing that happened. And I'm like, my ears perk up in my sleep, because I'm like, okay, here comes the AIDS, here comes the Argentina, I don't know what. Something worthwhile, I'm sure. 1971, this thing, blah, blah, blah. He keeps talking and talking and talking, and I slowly realize, 1971, he's talking about himself, the creation of himself, his own birth. I'm not kidding. In 1971, a woman was admitted to the hospital. She had pains in her stomach.
Oh, and no!
The contractions were getting more and more severe, and she slowly, her vagina thrust a naked young man into the world. He didn't know what befell him.
Are you fucking...
He didn't know what was along his path. But tonight is the end of that path, and I hold the gold, and I'm... Now, I'm making all of that up.
Okay,
I'm just saying, for real, he shifted gears. It's like in 1971, and he didn't then go on to talk about the Spanish Civil War or something. Yeah. He didn't go on to talk about...
Which was 30 years before that.
I knew you'd call me on that. He was talking about his own birth. So I was like, I bolted up because I was like... And at some point he was like, and then it's good to win this Oscar and it's great. And my brother's out there and 30 Seconds to Mars and it's great. He plugged his band!
No.
He plugged his band.
There's only one thing I like about this story is that he's older than me.
That's the other thing. I bolted up. I was like, he's 43? Fuck it. The world's my oyster. This guy's handsome. And Aaron kept putting her hand on my arm like, drink more water. Like she's like,
you can
exactly.
Make it. Yeah.
You could still do it. do some crunches.
Holy fuck.
As far as Oscar speeches, you know, you got Jared Leto was the opener. They've done a healthy restructuring where they throw you a bone. They give you the actors at the top of the show now.
They start off with the biggies.
And then at the end, toward the end of the show, right before I got in my car, what's her name from 12 Years a Slave, the girl who played Patsy. I don't know her, the actress.
Tyler,
name.
What's her name?
Hard name.
She won four best players.
Crazy name.
Lupica.
It's got an apostrophe in it.
Fernette Branca won for best supporting actress.
It was an intensely beautiful, perfect 4-point landing speech.
Can we hear your impression of her speech?
Oh, she said something like way more articulately than I could have ever put it. She said something to the effect of, we win these awards for portraying people who went through a lot of fucking pain. She said it really beautifully, and it was a really, really good speech. It didn't go egregiously actory. Let's think about what's going on in the Sudan or anything like that. But it was absolutely about, you know, like if it was good. It was a nice sandwich of like, those are good acceptance speeches. Whatever you think about like these movies, whatever you think about this pageantry, and who knows, I'm on your side if you think it's all a bunch of horse shit. However, we all have this fantasy of because we really do, and that's what propels this thing, like this telecast, this idea. This idea that we're one day going to actually be called up onto a stage and being given an award and get to do this thing called an acceptance speech, and that we're going to either nail it or not nail it.
Have you fantasized? I mean, you gave an Emmy acceptance speech. Have you fantasized about
it? Yeah, and I kind of harmoned it. You know, for those of you who don't know, I won an Emmy for writing the Oscars.
Yeah.
For writing the Oscars. He wrote the whole Oscars.
Yeah. Yeah, never make the mistake of asking me if I've ever been to the Oscars, because I'll get to say, oh, yeah, I've been to the Oscars so much I won an Emmy for it.
And my favorite thing about that is you saying, like, Dan went and he won an Oscar, or won an Emmy for writing the opening to the Oscars for Hugh Jackman, and he accepted the award, and he said, my acceptance speech for the Emmy for writing the Oscars is nominated for a Tony.
Yeah, man. Because it's a live performance, people liked it a lot. If the governor's ball is any indication, I had a lot of famous people coming up to me going, you're fucking awesome. I was like, ah, thanks, famous guy. I still got it, or I now have it. I don't know. Anyways, I don't know what we can do with this, but we obviously have a lot of like wonderful people here, and they all came here instead of watching the end of the Oscars. I don't know how to turn this into a game or a contest or something, but I thought we could do something where we could have people come up and not try to be funny, like not try to be ironic, but really actually try as hard as they can to give a really good acceptance speech.
Right. What if you came up with categories and see if you named a category and see if somebody would like to win the award for that category? Or ask somebody what category they would like to win.
Right,
for.
Ask them what the, I think, so we'll start with that. Like, we'll ask people what category they'd like to win an award for.
An Academy Award for.
And then we'll, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So let's go. We got our usual suspects up here. I don't think we should exclude them, but also, I don't know how to do this. How do you initiate this?
I would say you open the bidding with a certain category and start not with the like the big, you know, five or six categories, maybe like, you know, best foreign feature animated.
You think that's someone's ambition?
Does anybody here have a weird category that they like other than best actor?
I almost feel like you have to foist it on people.
Best boy?
Sound design?
Sound design?
Yeah.
You really want to win for best sound design sometime? Okay.
And the winner for best...
Okay. Oh, shit. Let's give him a little bit of lead up. What's your name?
My name is Sam.
Sam. Can I get your last name? Or you?
Yeah, no, it's cool. My last name is
Botstein. Sam Botstein?
Yeah.
Okay, Sam Botstein. So we'll make up some other nominees and... Okay, and then you come up and like really honestly like your job isn't to be funny if they're not laughing like honestly just like really from the heart like what you think like a good acceptance speech would be. We're not gonna that's it, we're gonna do a bunch of them and you'll be the first and you'll be great. All right, so here presenting the award.
Jared Leto.
Hi.
No, we're doing the celebrity banter. Yeah. Who am I?
Oh, hey, Dudley.
Dudley Moore's ghost. Yes, it's good to not be dead. Jared, I liked your speech earlier. It's very interesting about your passage through your mother's birth canal.
Thank you. Sound design is a craft. Wait, what was it? Sound design. Without sound design, sound would be undesigned.
I just made a fart sound right there.
But that fart sound was designed by some of the wizards, electricians, and sorcerers.
The nominees for best sound design in a motion picture are...
Franklin Johansson for 1,200 feet above the sea.
Do you hear that?
We're 1,200 feet above the sea! Sydney John San Francisco for Space Nugget. Hold my hand! I can't hold your hand! Charlotte Fan... Junior for Spooky House. Did you hear that?
No.
Ooh. Oh, shit, run! And
Sam Botstein
for Plywood Memories. Keep prying it away! I can't! It's 1820! You little piece of shit! You're starving! Yeah, you did it.
And the winner for best sound design in a motion picture is...
Oh my God! Sam Botstein for Plywood Memories!
It's really an honor to be chosen from such amazing nominees working on such amazing movies like Space Nugget. And, I really have to thank everyone for giving me the opportunity to work on this film, Plywood Memories. Plywood Memories. In a world where we're used to just hearing the same thing over and over again, especially when you're watching something about plywood. It's just really an honor to, you know, have anyone trust me with their film about plywood and, you know, just, you know, trust me to make it come to life. And thank you, everyone, for giving me this opportunity, and my parents, my mother and father, and everyone for really believing in me. Thank you. Good night.
It's good. You can keep, you know what, keep it. Let's do another one.
Yeah. Mostly, I think we're going to delight in your...
I don't want to overshadow with my amazing improv, but...
In your fake nominees.
But, yeah, I may have a few surprises for us. All right.
Now, look, name a category. Should we say? Does anybody else want to? Like, if their pie in the sky dream would be to win for a more, like.
Yeah, I feel like we should make them up too.
A specific category.
Like, I want to know what Beefcake Bill. Beefcake Bill.
He's gone to Beefcake?
Yeah. He's endured a lot. He's Beefcake Bill now.
I think if we do enough shows, he'll end up as SpongeBob Bill.
Beefcake Bill, do you have, what category would you dream of? It can be an existing one, but.
Special effects.
Special effects? Okay. All right. Let's give him his due.
All right.
All right.
Could you fantasize about giving an acceptance speech for a special effects award against such illustrious nominees as?
As well, let's go.
Ladies
and gentlemen,
here to announce the award.
She's been in all kinds of movies.
He's. He's only been in one.
Please welcome
Julia Roberts
and Woody Harrelson.
I've got a name. I've got a name.
Hello, Woody.
You know, Julia, it's amazing to be around all these people.
Woody, I never realized how weird your accent was until I started watching the new season of True Detective.
Thank you. Whether it's a space ball, a laser beam, or a goosebite, Death Star explosion, the wizards that bring us outer space galactic electronifies have been working behind the scenes around.
And the nominee is for best sound effects in a motion picture.
Special effects, Julia.
Special effects.
Winter time. Tiger. There's a tiger. Look out. Choo, choo, choo. You shot the tiger. Good job. Super Argyle. Get these vampires out of my house. Let us in. You're vampires. We're coming through the door, but turn it into mist. Shh. Oh, shit. Scottish vampires.
I thought you were Armenian vampires.
Lies. What did you say before? Nothing. Liar. Blue jeans and sex. A space story. Stardate 12. Still wanna fuck some bitches. Choo 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 choo. Oh, I came.
And the Oscar goes to. For blue jeans and sex. Beef Fungus Bill!
I've got a name.
Thank you so much. I need to thank the people who helped me get to where I am right now. Alan McKay, who undoubtedly did all of the ashings in the vampire movie that was announced. And all the people who helped me explode every day. We exploded every day when working in for Blue Jeans and Sex, and will continue to explode into the future. So thank you so much.
That's cool. That's cool. He really overcame his whole sex scandal that was going on while he was.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had a rough year.
I have an idea. I want to do one. Like somebody, I want somebody to. I wish there was a way to like randomly just select people. But
well, you can just point a finger at somebody.
Well, but yeah, but I don't want to make people. I don't want to abuse people by making them come up. But I want somebody to come up and do like their version of the most controversial, like the one that everyone will talk about the next day. Like you know, the egregious speech.
You went too far.
Yeah,
it could be like you love me, you like me, you really like me, or it could be like
Could be anything political.
The plight of the Native American.
Like. Yeah. All right, why don't we just have Adam Goldberg do that one? Right. He'll be game, right? Adam Goldberg, are you willing to do this, Adam?
Adam, assuming you're here.
What award category would you like to win for?
Adapted screenplay.
Adapted screenplay? Okay.
Best.
All right. Okay. Please, presenting the award for adapted screenplay, here's
Bill Murray
and Ice-T.
Oh, Ice-T, that's a nice hat you got there.
The words we use are often less valuable than the ones we use from other people that have used them.
You sure said it.
The nominees for Best Adapted Screenplay are 40 times a fuckface, adapted from the Judy Blume novels of the same name by Spindilla Johnson, Gregory Mifsud, and Famke Johnson.
I don't know what's going on. I'm turning into a girl.
Seasons Change. The adapted memoirs of Henry David Thoreau by Shane Black. Get out of that log cabin. Fuck you. Come in and get me.
Agnes Morstein and Fred Armisen for Gravity.
You gotta give me your hand. I'm gonna go into space.
But I have a kid who died. I shouldn't have been on a NASA mission in the first place. I'm an emotional wreck. Also, Hubble is way farther outside of orbit than any other Russian satellite. This scientifically makes no sense.
Axe Grinder, the Jeff Davis story. It's not enjoyable. I demand that it adhere to my understanding of aeronautics.
Dan Harmon and Rob Schraub for Monster House 2.
Adapted from the novelization of Monster House 1.
The house is a monster again.
Well, let's hang out and talk about it again. Yeah, not my idea.
House and the winner.
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. For Axe Grinder 3.
plaster face. Okay. A story from the Spectrum. Adapted from the novelization of his own work, Adam Goldberg. Do you see me? Do you understand who I am? You haven't won yet, motherfucker. What does he know that we don't know?
We have a guy who thinks he's already won. It's weird.
Motherfucker's coming weird. Up, storming the stage.
What a weird thing to do, to get up and think you won the award already.
I've never wanted to control the contents of an envelope than my life.
I kind
of
hope he doesn't win, because he's already come up and, you know.
Bad news.
Uh-oh. You've already read the envelope?
Yeah, it ain't
we
personal.
We haven't even opened the envelope. You can see through the envelope with your laser eyes.
I know. Listen. I hang with Smith, Wesson, and Price Waterhouse.
The makers of guns and mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
I don't know.
Oh, shit, man. Who are you again?
I'm Bill Murray.
Bill Murray.
And you're Vincent Price, right?
That's fucked up, man. All right, so all those people are incredibly important in the work they do. They all adapted screenplays.
Do you want to recap the names of the films?
Yeah. Seasons of Winter, Plasterface, Space Dick.
Monster House 3, the adaptation of Monster House 4.
Nugget Train. Then the outstanding nominee winner goes to... Well, I heard about this motherfucker, but I've always wanted to work with him. Adam Goldberg!
I brought my own award. I have to tell people of the Academy something, which is that heavily, heavily plagiarized was my story from Plasterface. I didn't see the king. I wasn't in The King and I. I'm not 6'3". Girlfriend isn't Scottish. And I'm a loser. Guess what, America? I'm a loser and I won an award and you didn't. You gotta work tomorrow. I don't. I have an e-business. You're all probably poor. And I don't care what state you're in unless it's Massachusetts, Hawaii, and some parts of New York, but not New York City. Only Utica and Albany.
That went well.
Well, we fucked him over because our comedy went over. His job was to do the most controversial acceptance speech.
Right.
He got you remember? Spike Jones won best screenplay. We knew that. Matthew McConaughey won best actor. So.
Best actor?
Best actor.
Best actress was Kate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, and director was Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity.
Oh, best director, Gravity.
Okay, wow. Gravity, yeah. Well shot, well directed. Bad story. Stupid and boring. Fuck it. Fuck it. Super dumber dumb.
All right.
Stupid movie. You don't send a crazy lady up who just recently had a child die. You don't put her in charge of the goddamn Hubble fucking space telescope.
It's not.
And George Clooney. Look, I love George Clooney. He's great. But so many accidents happen in that fucking movie. And then at the end, when his toe is hanging by a rope that accidentally tied around his foot, and he's there, and he's like, just let go. Just let me do it on your own. It's like, at that point, there's so many fucking accidents that have happened. Why not just say, fuck it, stick with me. I'm accident lady, and everything's going to be fine. And then she plummets to Earth, and she's not going to live, and she lands 15 fucking feet from a fucking coastline. And where is she? Cancun? It's not bad weather. It's gorgeous. 15 feet further inland, plunk into the sand, dead. 15 feet further out, eaten by a shark because the seaweed almost killed her. She almost dies by seaweed at the end. Stupid. And then my biggest beef with the whole fucking movie, forget all the bad science. She gets up, and there's a glamour shot from the toes up, and she's standing there, perfectly shaved leg. She's been in space, as far as we're told, for weeks. And she like just she just came back from fucking the waxing.
That's Jeff's dumb. Biggest beef.
Like, oh no, I've got bigger beefs. Scientifically, her hair does not move in outer space. Everything else moves. Everything else moves. Her hair doesn't move. Why? Hard to do. Also, apparently hard to do. Write some fucking dialogue. It's fucking dumb. And. Oh, I had a dream that George Clooney... I am alive. I'm here again. I came back because the story is only about a person that we don't care about that much. I'm another person you don't care about that much. I'm back. Oh, I woke up. Oh, he's not there anymore. Oh, my baby died. And she fucking... Boo. Fuck that movie. Fuck it. Stupid movie. Also, if a thing blows up in orbit... It's going to move in a bunch of different directions. The debris field does not move counter to the fake orbit of Hubble, which is so far out in space that it's the farthest a fucking space shuttle mission has ever gone. The Russian satellite's not going to come at it. It's so dumb. And also when the Russian guy, their Russian fucking counterpart gets a bullet to the fucking helmet and it's just his head. No, he would fucking disintegrate and evaporate into fucking space. He's just a Russian guy with a bullet in his head. Stupid. Fuck it. Dumb. Make a movie about two people. Make a movie about two people who go to fix the Hubble Space Telescope. And make it, call it Lost in Fucking Space. And then make a movie about two people who have to actually go through what it's like to be lost in space. Don't bore the fuck out of me with, oh, God, fuck it, everybody. But my baby died! Really, I'm surprised a mission specialist was allowed out of the fucking vehicle with that much emotional trauma. Yeah. Fucking dumb.
All right. Wait, he gave himself his own music gift.
And okay. The winner for most self-righteous...
Tyler, why don't you... Let's let Tyler do the honors. Come on up.
Picture goes to 12 Years a Slave.
No. All right, Dan, want to weigh in on that one?
We got a slate.
Well, wow, you guys booing? That's
okay.
No, well, I don't want to shame you for booing.
I mean, at least I did not see what was it called? American Hustle. Didn't see it.
American Hustle can go fuck itself.
Yeah. Gravity, as I said, can go fuck everything American, and then have everything
gravity
else
Gravity should not have beaten 12 Years a Slave.
Gravity can go figure out what angular momentum is and have angular momentum fuck it up the fake space hole.
Well, what should have... Does anyone have a list of the nominees? Can we go down and get the consensus of the crowd? What should have won?
Her was nominated, right?
Yeah. Let's let Tyler pull it up. He'll be our Oscar curator.
Get him a mic. It's
very, 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 very interesting, though. I mean, yeah, yeah. Could you want to come up and grab a mic so that we can? I don't have to. Yeah, so I don't have to move.
Tyler, everybody.
Hi. All right. So the list of movies for were nominated for Best Picture were American Hustle.
Okay.
Captain Phillips.
All right.
Eh.
Dallas Buyers Club.
Uh-huh.
Gravity.
Yeah.
Her.
Woo!
Good movie.
Nebraska.
Woo! I didn't see it.
She was nominated, the actress in that, the 84-year-old lady. She's awesome. Philomena.
Okay. Didn't see it.
12 Years a Slave.
Okay.
And The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't see Nebraska or the other one. Yeah. I don't know, man.
I saw 12 Years a Slave. I didn't see most of them. I thought it was good, but not great. I thought it was a good film, but not a spectacular film.
But
know?
How good does it need to be?
Why is Brad Pitt all of a sudden in the movie at the end?
That was very silly and egregious.
Because he's a producer on it, and that helps get a movie made in this day and age.
It was the fucked up thing about that. Well, I'm curious to. I want to read that guy's actual memoirs because is there an angelic, like, handsome, like,
guy from Thelma
guy that's just, like, all of a sudden after all of this betrayal, and you knew when the guy from Deadwood is, like, in the barracks, I'm like, oh, he's from Deadwood, don't, like he played two different guys in Deadwood, and they're all bad guys, like don't trust him, he's white, don't get out of there. It's such a heartbreaker. Like, it's so funny watching that movie in bed while you're eating fucking hot wings and like Aaron's comments included. This guy can't get a break. and my
12 years no breaks.
And my personal favorite, which I'd actually like to talk about, which is like after watching a little bit of Fassbender in his ways. This guy loves having slaves, which is actually important to talk about because that was I think that's why that movie was very interesting. I don't know if it's because of how it was written or directed or acted. Certainly the actors are doing a fantastic job. Another question we both had while watching it is, what is that set like when they call cut? What the fuck happens when you call cut on a set like that? Unlike any other set, like, what the fuck do you do?
I mean, it's probably not a spoiler. Maybe everybody's seen it, but the...
Well, slavery is abolished. Eventually.
It was.
Slavery loses.
But the lashing scene when she gets lashed and the most movies in my experience, like Denzel and Glory when he's getting lashed, it's usually the camera's facing the person getting whipped.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of horrible.
I think if for no other reason.
But when they turn the camera around and the effects that
the
they
most
do,
brutal ugh. The most brutal visuals weren't the CG flesh openings on the ends of the whip, but actually right before that the aerosol mist of blood coming off of backs. The thing that was most striking to me about that movie, which has nothing to do with how it was written, directed, acted, whatever, but the important thing that sunk into my 41-year-old brain about American slavery, which was fucking a minute ago, was it was commercial. And on top of it, it was like untenable. That like it was so psychotic, the whole thing. Like every character in that movie is protesting too much, and like I always my image as a child of the 70s is always a guy on a horse with a whip having the time of his life while a bunch of people ruthlessly just do things that machines will one day be able to do and it's horrible and they flip. But the psychology of all of it was like I kept thinking throughout the entire movie
Jesus Christ, who the fuck thought this was a good idea? Like, this is everybody that's doing it, the people that are profiting the most are all tangled up in it. Like, they really need to say things to themselves and to each other over and over and over again to make this all right. And more importantly, like, the emphasis on commerce, the idea of debt, the idea that this person, it wasn't just a choice between, is this right or is this wrong? Because we, as 25-year-old hipsters, we all go, well, the fuck's fun about having a slave? That's not cool.
I didn't see any of the nominated films, but as far as that's concerned, was there a dissenting voice at all among in the movie at all among the people who were like, just keep your head down, don't do this? Was there any sort of...
Well, it was everybody. What do you mean? Like
amongst the titular slaves in the film, were there any? Were there
oh
any
yeah,
of them?
Everybody.
There's people saying like. Keep your head down. Like, it's easier if
well,
you,
they
if
tell
you,
the guy, you can't...
Forget you know how to read or write.
Yeah, like, he can't even... You don't tell anybody that you're literate because you'll actually end up getting killed, which is a terrifying belly of the whale realization that he actually... The key to his freedom that he thought was actually in his hand, that he thought couldn't be taken away from him, that doesn't mean anything compared to the color of his skin or the circumstances under which he was born. So in fact, the fact that he's literate actually puts him in great peril. And he walks this weird tightrope between it. The amazing, I was just blown away. Like, oh shit, this was commerce. This was buying a Snickers bar. This was, the people kept saying, I owe the Shawshank farm. I owe them 50
redemptions.
I have to, my crops aren't just, it's like the emphasis on capitalism, because that's what it fucking is. And that's the thing. Like, we pat ourselves on the back so much for, like, outgrowing this concept, but it's not, it's just barbarism combined with rampant capitalism. If you're allowed to, you will abuse people. This movie, this has nothing to do with the movie, but I experienced that epiphany while watching the movie, even though I thought I understood that we had slavery and what that meant and why I should feel bad about it. But I kind of didn't. And that movie made me kind of think about it on a different level.
Yeah, I sort of get where you're coming from in that, I mean, the stakes are different, but sort of the capitalism involved in the machine is no different than what it is now. Except, do you think that people at some point in time went through the numbers and went, if we, you know, actually pay these people and give them wages, they'll last longer? I'm sure that at some point in time there was a cost analysis done, went, wait, we can make more money and these are, you know, our slaves or our people working for us will last longer if we help them kind of along with a, you know, we don't have to keep the bottom line, doesn't go up that much.
More importantly, if you were allowed to, if the law said that you were allowed to, as the superhuman Amish Brad Pitt who comes in at the end of the story, who comes in with this message and says to this character, if tomorrow the law said that I was allowed to treat you this way, would that make it right? And he can't wrap his brain around it because it's so based on hatred. I was stricken by the amount of work. I don't know how much of it is based on reality, but the amount of work that went into, for instance, taking a lantern and going out to your slave hut and having all of your slaves come into your house and do a dance for you, that seems so much harder than just having slaves. Like, so much work. I would it was insane how fucking, like, what there was, that wasn't about, well, saving work.
He had a lot of free time.
So, come in the house. Everybody dance. Come dance. Then they're doing a dance. The dance has to be taught to them. You have to have a choreographer. You have to like teach everybody. And then there's all this anger. Like, you're fucking that slave. Oh, I'm not fucking that slave. I'm going to throw a vase at her. It's like Jesus Christ. They put a lot of work into having slaves, these people. All right. Anyways, I thought it was a good movie. I think it's really interesting. Like my first thought, as everyone's is. Oh, well, if you make a movie set in this world, you're not allowed to not be nominated for an Oscar, much less win one, perhaps.
If Gravity is nominated.
But I think it's interesting. Yes, of course. But I think it's very interesting at what you do with that thought. Do you then, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes and you look at the scores and you sort them by lowest to highest, like, the people that... I out of morbid curiosity, I went and looked at the reviews of that movie. Like, what are the big detractors of this movie's prestige saying? And it's
it's very strange. I saw a guy with a 1-star review of the movie saying, this is pornography for racists and soft-hearted lemmings. And I don't know if that's the most profound thing in the world you could ever say, or the most idiotic. I don't know what that is. I think that person is generally saying, oh, this is race bait. I don't know. I guess if you were to endow that person with an IQ, yeah, that's what they would be saying.
I'd have to watch it again.
It's just a clinically shot exploration. Yeah. It's an adaptation of the memoir. The camera doesn't push down a bar while the Rolling Stones play.
Anybody here, first of all, black or feel strongly about that film, like for better or for worse? Anybody here?
We don't have. There's no black people that come to this podcast.
Where's NT when we need him?
Oh, he's having an Oscar party. Are you kidding me? Tonight's his night, man. I just think it's weird. Like the conversation that you have between somebody that would bother to insist that movie not be regarded well. Like
at least a film that deals with important stuff, like an actual like heavy matter, like wins, and not some of the piffle that was nominated.
I'd rather. It's the only movie that's about class systems. It's the only movie. Why aren't the other movies dealing with the fact that there are poor people being told what to do by rich people?
Isn't that sort of the point of the Oscar bait movie, though, is to sort of specifically go for the things that are the hot button issues? Not to say that they did it just for the purpose of the Oscar bait, but that's sort of what that's film's wheelhouse, is you want to kind of tackle big issues and bring to light it, you know, things
What was the film? I'm really ignorant about it. The documentary about Egypt and the
Squares.
Did that win?
No. The Act of Killing.
The Act of Killing didn't win.
20 feet from
20
from Stardom won. Yeah, I mean,
there are a lot of great documentaries.
Yeah, 20 feet from Stardom is a goodie.
20 feet from Stardom is great, but I'm sorry, the Act of Killing is I threw a shoe at the TV. Give 20 feet from Stardom, remake it next year. It's 2 hours of people saying over and over again that it's hard to be a backup singer. I'm sorry. It's the Act of Killing is a fucking exploration of the definition of good and evil and the human condition and our capacity to lie to ourselves and each other.
Yeah, but 20 feet from Stardom is fun.
During the acceptance speech for 20 Feet of Stardom, they brought one of the backup singer speech, and the last half of the acceptance speech was her singing about how happy she was.
Yeah, she kept singing. Won. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to take anything away from.
No, I mean, it was a good documentary.
Yeah, it was fine. All of those documentaries were great. I think I saw most of them, but boy, God, The Act of Killing, I felt like I wanted to run out into the street and say, this is the most important film I've ever seen in my life, because it's beyond Indonesia. It's beyond killing. It goes into like, what the fuck? Who are we? We are insane. We are insane. We are a species of fucking liars, and just like we swallow it down, and it comes up through vomit.
Well, I don't know. It comes to the point of the, you know, strong issues documentary versus the interesting thing documentary. It's like, is, I don't think that necessarily one is patently better than the other. Did you saw both of them? Did you think that the Square was patently a better?
I didn't see the Square. I didn't see the Square.
You didn't see it? Okay.
Someone's raising their hand.
Yeah,
that's always good.
What's your name?
Sam. Isn't it? I mean, I'm not black.
Strike one. He said, "I'm not black."
But isn't 12 Years a Slave pornographic? Like, wouldn't you agree with that? Because that's all that.
Grab a mic and come on stage. Wait, Sam?
Or if you want to.
Get over, Sam. Then we can hear you. If we have to proceed, then we can hear you for the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Taking the very difficult position of, yeah, it would be easy to say, okay, 12 Years a Slave is a great movie, but you're saying, like, intellectually.
I mean, yeah, it's just, I mean, slavery is pretty bad, but.
that's a bold, but showing how bad it is.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that was the, for me, was the most, like, that the bad stuff, the pornographic stuff, was the stuff that was like, oh shit, this is really good. But, but I mean, other than that, that's it. That's like, it's, I mean, that's like in Korea, like you put a film about the Korean War and like North Korea and the shit that North Korea is doing, that's going to win the equivalent of the Korean Oscars.
Which is what, by the way? I want to know.
I don't know.
It's called the squeegee.
Doesn't that play?
Are you Korean? Wait, I'm sorry, was it racist for me to assume you knew?
I'm ashamed I don't know.
Sam, are you Korean?
I am Korean.
Yeah.
It was a bad movie.
But did you? How old are you? Can I ask? You seem young enough. I can ask how old you are.
That's racist. I'm 30.
All right.
Yes.
No, because...
Congratulations.
Thank you. American Hustle talked about class in a way. I mean, it wasn't the highlight.
Speaking of class, somebody in the crowd went...
But so, did
they
you...
talked about black people better than, I think... 12 Years a Slave, because I feel like it was...
Okay, I think I understand the point he's trying to make in that a lot of these films that are these sort of Oscar, the ones that are going after the heavy issues choose to depict these scenes that are very real, that were actual parts of you know, violent parts of our history, you know, dark parts of our history, just to sort of to get the reaction of people, to get them to think, this is something we need to consider, this is something we need to think about. And that I would say that that's sort of the point of those films, isn't it? I think of a lot of the films in the past, like they show those scenes that are uncomfortable for the purpose of like getting the viewer to sort of think about it and go, look.
But Django did a better job of that.
but Django obviously
is like cartoony.
Yeah, it takes place in a mythical universe. That's the danger. I think that, I mean, you're 30, I'm 41. I think that when I think about the concept of slavery in America, and the fact that the country's built on it, and all this stuff, it's like this is right back around the corner. But the fact that I'm able to actually, like, in a post roots, post fucking everything world, like I was raised in the 70s on awareness of this shit, and yet when I watch that movie, there is something about the aerosol mist of blood coming off of someone's back that I didn't receive through the movie Glory with Matthew Broderick. I needed to be brutalized. I needed to watch more pornography about slavery. I did. I don't know if that makes it a good movie or not, but I don't know.
It doesn't make a best picture, though.
But compared to these other ones, I'm not sure. I didn't see two of them, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. The guy's putting the camera in the right places as far as I'm concerned. He didn't do anything like, you know. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, holy shit, what a rock star.
Isn't the point of some of these films then, like I was saying, to use that depiction, to sort of jog the, oh, wait, this is something I need to pay attention to so they can get their message across. That sort of seems to be a common theme.
But with that hot button going around you, if you show up to that set and you put your styrofoam cup of coffee down and you're ready to do the scene with Fassbender and these other actors... pick up the whip, okay, all right, this scene, you're going to do this and that. Isn't that a good director? Isn't that a good movie? If those people are...
But Django should have won.
But Django's a comic book. I mean,
Django's just silly and gross. Like, that comic book idea of the big...
This comes down to a very interesting concept because it creates a dichotomy between good movie versus... these things that often the Oscars are celebrating, which is good, conscientious.
For me, if you're going to be conscientious and make important films, like not documentaries, but fictional, or in this case, you know, an adaptation of a real memoir, like really like serious, heavy stuff. Like for me, and I'd have to watch it again to talk intelligently about it. I just feel like it missed for me in some ways, and I don't know what it was.
What, Django or
no, fuck Django. The 12 Years a Slave And like lots of films, like you can deal with heavy stuff, but I don't think it elevates itself to the level of like artistic like achievement in film. Like even if 12 Years a Slave is a really good adaptation of that memoir, which I've not read, which I'm hoping and assuming is you know riveting and better, I think it misses on certain levels of like in terms of making a great film. But then, what are we replacing it with? Frozen,
exactly.
Yeah.
What is a good movie? Forrest Gump. What the fuck?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? I don't know. I mean, like so these movies that win every year, and the notable exception is the category of best screenplay, which I truly.
But
feel...
now the question is like what you know, Her. I thought was a pretty moving, important movie. I don't know that that's best picture material either. But like, would a film that won Best Picture, like some of the great ones of all time, like would an All About Eve or would a Casablanca be recognized as even a movie anymore? Like, would people see it? Would people recognize it? Would the Academy look at it?
I don't know what their job is anymore. I mean, it's an institution. It's this idea of this like prestigious thing. They did this thing tonight where they paraded out this Benetton kids where they were like, they called them Team Oscar or something. Did you see what I'm talking about? They had like a decidedly multicultural, multi-ethnic like group of 20-year-old kids that they taught. I didn't even understand what it was. So it was like during a Dove soap commercial, they started teeing it up. And then during the Oscars, they brought them out. There was like seven kids.
They were like helping with the production or something. I was at the drawing.
And they kind
room.
Of gestured to them. It was such protestation. It was such like we're not an oligarchy. Look at this band of proletariats.
It was weird. It was like two during the pre-show. It was like the two old white producers who throw the Oscars, being like talking to all these people over webcam. Like, we're gonna have you and pick you, and you're working on the Oscars.
Yeah,
and they showed them
like crying. Oh my God, I'm on Skype and the Oscars want me to come something. Be relevant by being on broadcast television, which gets less viewers than the YouTube guy who does the history of dance.
I feel like also that this podcast will air after everybody's seen the Oscars and heard about the results, and people here either clearly don't give a fuck because they're here instead of being watching the Oscars. So hooray for us, first off, for not giving a shit about fake pageantry or pageantry, which is fake. But...
Here comes a really uncomfortable speech about how Palestine shouldn't be a state. I know that look.
I don't know. I think the bummer is that like none of us clearly here have a real horse in the race, and we don't feel like nobody feels.
You're right.
Like,
I went down the wrong path.
A great movie won, or a great movie lost. I feel like it's just a case of a bunch of movies that nobody gives much of a shit about. We're all in the running for a prize that means nothing when the victor doesn't. Like, who gives a fuck?
You're right. You're fucked up. I shouldn't have mentioned him. I shouldn't have mentioned the goddamn Oscars.
I don't know. Harold Ramis is dead. Like,
God damn it.
If Caddyshack were up against these movies, fucking. Caddyshack, man, that's a great movie.
That movie stinks.
No, it doesn't.
Caddyshack sucks.
Fucking rules.
God bless you, Harold Ramis.
No,
you know Caddyshack sucks.
That's not true. There's a scene.
That's a shitty movie.
Everybody
who has a line from that movie memorized is a fratty fucking fuckface.
Caddyshack is dead funny, man. It's dead fucking funny.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope. No.
That's just
Caddyshack is like a weird fucking Bible for fratty fuckfaces. No, it's garbage.
So what? So let's get laid. Rodney Dangerfield is wearing plaid pants.
Sounds great.
Sounds like a great movie.
it's a string of fucking like couplets.
Do you like meatballs?
I do love meatballs.
Caddyshack is better than meatballs.
But I have the courage to acknowledge that meatballs is not a good movie.
What was your name again, sir?
Sorry, it was Scott. Was it
Sam?
Sam. Let's let Sam accept an award before he sits down. Let's give Sam an award.
Right. Sam, do you want to pick a category, or do you want us to foist one upon you?
Foist one, please.
All right, Dan, you want to foist categories?
Most racist. Most racist.
Most racist.
Let me do the. All right.
So we're
presenting the award for most racist writing, acting, or directing of a feature film, variety, or a comedy are Tobey Maguire and Ben Kingsley. When I'm not slinging webs, I'm slinging truth about race and ethnicity.
Very well said, Ben. The nominees for most racist film?
Yeah.
Are.
N-word to the friend word. By Lucretia Johnson. You don't know me. I want to get to know you. Sisters of the River by Johnny Racist. This river goes down where you can't imagine. I know that shit. Asian ice cream.
He
Asian ice cream?
By Yoshiro Yashimoto. I said I want pistachio. You get out of my store. Mexican Cream by Robert Rodriguez. Oh, so sleepy. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a front runner. You groan at it.
Do not break the fourth wall.
You Ukrainian shithead. Oh, I'm Ukrainian, I'm a shithead. It's like that's like a dark horse candidate. And Korean Swahili. By Sam, what was your last name? Chang. Sam Chang. Pretty racist. I don't want you to get me a glass of water. I want you to want to get me a glass of water. Fuck you, bitch. And the winner is Sam Chang first, Korean Swahili.
Thank you. Hello. Did I pronounce that right? Hello. People always say that the Chinese are the same as Koreans, and we are. So, we come from the same place, and I like to thank my mom and my girlfriend, Gia. Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. All right. Tyler, any commentary?
No, I don't know. I just, after that, no, nothing.
What award have you always wanted to win?
Best costume design.
All right. Presenting the award for best costume design, here are Goldie Hawn and...
Solo.
Goldie, there are three kinds of...
What was the category? Costume design?
Costume design.
I don't... The only kind of costume I need is one that has a blaster on my side. The nominees for best costume design are
so Victorian Sunsets by Leo Vimario and Sanjay Pupte. I noticed tonight that your ball is very exquisite. Oh, but it needs more fabric. Newsboys.
Extree! Would you like a paper, sir?
I couldn't possibly think of it. My double-vested jacket's too vested.
Sonia Fuckface and Tony Who Gives a Shit for gravity.
I can't move in the suit. Hold on to my leg. The stakes have never been higher. Jeff Davis is watching. He's got a notepad and a fucking, like, trapper keeper with a rocket ship on it out. Jesus Christ, who would have ever thought?
It's a bad movie.
Canal du Plus. By Tyler, what's your last name? Tyler Giffen? Really? Racist.
True.
Tyler Giffen, get this canal moving. I'm British. I've got a pith helmet on, and I've got to make it to the dance. I'm a masquerade person. It's a lot of costumes in it. Just imagine a lot of costumes. And the
Oscar goes to
Tyler Giffen.
Oh, thank you very much. Wow, you know, when I came in, the first thing I wanted to say, wow, I'm all over the place. Thanks, you guys. It's really great to be here. It's my first time being here. There's a lot of people here. That's a little uncomfortable. I just wanted to say that when we were in England, we noticed that a lot of people were wearing clothes, lots of clothes. So we thought if we could put as many clothes as possible on these people, that I think that would well represent the era. So we just kept putting clothes on people until we couldn't actually see the actors anymore. And it worked. Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Music is an important part of the cinema landscape. Every movie has a song, and every movie with a song has a song in it. Here, presenting all of the songs from this year's nominations for Best Song in a Movie is Jeff Davis in a beautiful homage to all of the songs.
12 years a slave, gravity, American Hustle. What else? What Wolf of Wall Street? The guy is a street with a wolf, and he's looking for love. And the 12 years a slave and gravity.
Here presenting the best critique of that presentation is Kumail Nanjiani.
Hello.
Jeez, did you get here by bus?
Huh?
Jesus Christ, where were you? Dying up here.
Oh, was it?
No, I was. I was just complimenting you and saying we missed you.
Oh no, I ran as soon as the Oscars were over.
Yeah.
I wanted to see.
Well, some of us came before they were over.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you, you can have your cake and eat it too. You could do both. You don't have to choose. You could do both.
You can record it. Here's a highlight from the Oscars that Aaron notified me of. Matthew McConaughey, while accepting his award, said his hero was him 10 years older.
Yeah.
I didn't get that right.
It makes perfect sense. Like, who's your hero? Me. Have you seen me?
First of all, why did he think that then was a time to answer that question?
Yeah.
You're accepting an award. You're not being interviewed.
He liked that philosophy so much that he was like tearing up talking about how he's his own hero.
That was his acceptance speech?
Yeah, he won Best Actor.
Good heavens, where have we fucking gone as a people?
Well, McConaughey's fucking rocking it, man.
He's on fire.
If you say McConaissance, I'm going to fucking stab everybody.
You know what?
You just gave me that. We're in the middle of a
McConaissance. Speaking of McConaissance, Kumail, I watched 2.5 episodes of fucking True Detective because of you.
Don't like it?
2.5 episodes in, I don't know yet. I don't know that I would continue watching if everyone.
Keep watching.
It gets good.
Yeah. It's the best show.
Yeah.
On TV.
Okay.
You know why? Because we're in the middle of a fucking McConaissance right now.
Yeah, it's a reconnaissance.
It's a McConaissance. Matthew is
a McConaissance.
It's not Matthew Reconnaissance.
That's Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey.
No, Matthew McConaughey is quite good in that show. Woody Harrelson can go fuck himself with that dumb accent. My girlfriend and I were watching it, and we actually were Googling Woody Harrelson jaw injury? Woody Harrelson car accident? Like, why is he going... I was making fun of your...
Can I ask you a question?
That's pretty good.
What gives you the goddamn right to make insinuations about the way I speak on camera? Right.
Okay, can I be McConaughey or Reconaughey, as you call
him? I don't know. Can you?
Yes. Let's do a scene. I've only seen 2.5 episodes of True Detective. Let's do a scene where we're driving in a car.
Oh, that is how they drive. Yeah, like, they drive like children.
All right.
For the podcast listeners, I was driving like a normal person.
Left, right, left, right, left, right.
That's the street you're on.
So, wavy road. So I'm assuming we're at the scene of a murder.
So if you like.
And now we're going to another murder.
Okay, so I'm going to do my best Matthew McConaughey, and you do your Woody Harrelson. So.
And it's you're going from a murder to another murder.
Right.
You're between murders.
Kumail, you love the show. Direct us and give us a scene. Like tell us what's going on in the scene, and we'll portray that scene.
Okay, you have just seen some horrific shit, and right. you're McConaughey. Okay, so you're a little shaken by it, and he's like, "This is what it's about. This okay. is how, just, like, this is how life is, you know." Yeah.
I'm driving, right? I'm driving.
Yeah, you're driving. He does have permanent duck face.
What kind of sick son of a bitch does something like that?
You saw 2.5 episodes?
Speak up, motherfucker! There's Mumbletowns.
All right, wait,
Mumble McGee.
That's not fair. You be Woody Harrelson and Kumail be McConaughey.
No. You guys like the show more.
I want Kumail to be McConaughey.
No, I can't do it. I can't do an accent. All right, I'll do it. But
all you do is an accent.
This is the one I can do. I can't do his.
You're really good.
I'm locked into this one, man. You think I got a choice about this shit? If I could talk like McConaughey, wouldn't I talk like McConaughey all the time?
All right. I can't do an accent.
Be Matthew Pakistanahe.
All right. So you want to be McConaughey or Woody Harrelson?
Well, Woody Harrelson's unimpeachable.
I don't know. I guess their silence was deference.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Silence is consent.
So. Okay. So.
You were the silent ones. You consented to what's about to happen, is all I'm saying.
I think they heard the word consent and assumed that meant that dead people want to be raped, or I don't know what.
That's on you.
Silence is consent is a phrase. Yeah. It's
nothing to do with your own weird fetishes and perversions.
All right. I'll be Woody Harrelson.
Okay.
You're going to be McConaughey? Do you need time? Do you want to?
No, I can go. But you set the scene.
Okay. Right. You've just left. A shack, and there's another little dream catcher weird wicker statue thing, and the audience will probably wonder who gives a shit, but you guys are going to explain why we should give a shit about more dream catcher wicker statues.
Okay.
Right. Also, you're in a car and you're driving like really hard, like steering wheel. Like,
okay, he's driving hard. Yeah. Yeah. I don't drive. I look out.
Yeah, you're going to Matthew. Yes. Look, I want. And before, guys, can we hold the roll? Can we keep rolling? Keep rolling. I want just one word with the actors. Matthew, I want you to look vacantly into the middle distance. And Woody, I want you to mumble and overact with your face and lips.
So do what you do.
Do your thing, Wood. And action. Sorry, that's my bad. That's my bad. And cut. Okay, good. We're moving on. Okay. Let's just turn it around. Reverse angle. Same scene. Reverse angle.
Okay. Just do the same thing.
Yeah. Woody, I want you to mumble and overact. McConaughey, do your thing.
You ain't got no notes.
Pardon me, what?
Notes.
Sorry, I can't speak up. And action.
Notes? Sorry, that's my bad.
What kind of sick son of a bitch ticks a little girl, puts his dick in her butt, and puts antlers on her head and leaves her in the middle of a swimming pool?
You know, we never looked at the girl's butt.
Oh, excuse me, if you have some kind of assertion about the way I conduct my business, I consider you could keep it to your goddamn self. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
What
is it?
I would like you to shut the fuck up.
I really haven't spoken very much.
Keep rolling. This is the if this is the monologue. This is the big Woody Harrelson monologue. But if you want to go off book, off script, just do your Woody thing and give me the full Woody Harrelson take on life.
Yeah.
Whatever your character. What's your character's name? Flash Gordon, Rusty McTavish, Scoopy McDoubles.
It's Marty, right?
Marty, all right. Marty?
I think it's Marty, right?
Yeah,
and I'm going to just like sort of scoff at his philosophy without really saying it.
Okay, and that's good because your monologue is right after his.
Okay.
Tell you, there's a big world full of pussy out there. Three different kinds. The kind that gives you a highway, the kind that gives you a byway. The third kind...
That's the kind
you want. It's the rest stop. That's where you get love.
Love don't exist. It's a mistake, man made.
Now hold on a second. You telling me love don't exist?
Find it any science textbook you ever read. I don't know if you've ever read a book, but if you had, you might find it's not on the periodic table of elements. So to speak.
Well, I got a problem with the way you talk to me. You got a certain condescension about you. Certain airs you take with me that I won't abide. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No, I want to respect you because clearly that's an issue here.
Listen, the only issues I have are women, dick, pussy.
You could collapse two of those. They do the same. I'm not condescending.
Seems to me like...
I was going to explain why I'm condescending, okay. But I don't think you'd understand.
Seems to me like this killer is doing things because he's some kind of pervert.
Oh, right. He's not a pervert, Marty. If anything, he's a messiah. At least that's how he sees himself. This wasn't about sex.
Oh, excuse me for missing the part of the Bible where Jesus come down from the cross and diddle a little girl with a corn cob.
I don't want to be weird, but right now it looks like you're milking two cows.
Don't question my space work. Graduated third level UCB. I got a giant steering wheel in my hand.
Later, you two, in my office, now. I want some movement on this case, so I'm going to get some professionals in here to solve these murders. How are these two murders even related? Why are we following you around one murder and then another murder, and you guys seem to have no leads at all? For 2.5 episodes, no leads at all.
I'll tell you something. We're 6 episodes in now, and we still don't got no leads.
You put your spoilers and your badge and your gun on my desk right now.
Literally the opposite of a spoiler.
So nothing happens in that show?
Oh, stuff happens. They're just terrible at policemen. One guy's really good at being a policeman, but terrible at, like, not doing drugs.
I've got one more question for both of you before I kick you out of my office.
Oh, okay.
And this time for good. Why is it in Texas, when we see all sorts of weird shit, and where every other cop in the bullpen and every other actor standing behind you and everybody, every extra in this seems to look more like a policeman than both of you two? What makes you think you can be this good looking and mumble that much?
I look like a policeman who had to lose a lot of weight for a role in Hollywood and has just gained a little bit of it back.
What role was that?
Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, I'm sorry. I love that movie. You're back on the case. Woody, I loved you on Cheers. Or Marty. What is your name, officer?
Chief. I've never hit a woman.
That wasn't the question.
Jesus Christ, Marty.
Are you the murderer? Are we going to find out in episode 7 that you're the murderer? You did it, right?
No, he didn't.
He did it.
No.
I'm the chief of police. He did it. I sent you two lunatics out there to solve a case that anybody can solve. He clearly killed the ladies.
No. The night the murder happened, we were hanging out, and then he had to go do laundry, you said. So he was doing laundry.
What kind of alibi is this?
Airtight. Something special.
God damn it, Pakistani, hey, if you weren't so good looking.
Pakistani, hey.
It's a Pakistanisance.
All right, well, it's a good show. I'm looking forward
is
to
it. I'm going to stick it to
it's a golden age of television. The new thing about TV is they're owning up to the fact that these are just mini series.
Yeah.
This thing's going to have an ending.
Yeah, it's great.
And if it's a bad ending, then he'll own up to it. I'm Twitter buddies with the creator. I don't want to suffocate him. We're friends. He's a big fan of my work. I don't want to suffocate him.
You're a fan of his show?
No, I hate his show. What the fuck? No, what?
I was going to say mumble brag.
Oh. Jesus.
Because they mumble a lot in that shit.
I said to him, because I noticed he was following me, so I started following him, and then I direct message him.
Is this Nick Pizzolatto?
Yeah. And I said, hey, do you ever want to hang out, have a drink, and or come on Harmontown and talk about that? And he said, and his response was, I'd love to have a drink sometime. He won't be coming on the show.
Have you met him in person?
No.
Okay. But you will.
Best friends.
It's a great show. It really is. I was hooked from the beginning. It didn't take me 2.5 episodes.
Okay.
I was into it.
I watched 2.5 back to back. I would have made it to 3, but I fell asleep because it was, you know, like 3 a.m. So I finally just like dozed off.
Something strange about a man that refuses to enjoy a TV show. A lot of bad ones out there. A lot of good ones. So what's the difference between one you choose to accept?
Why is he talking like that? Is that him doing an accent? Like he's trying to be more Texan than Woody Harrelson? Or did he get in a horrible accident? Is it me or is his nose
broken?
His nose is broken too. Like he has like a weird scar across his nose and his nose is all
he's making his bid for iconography. I think he wants somebody to start doing impressions of him.
He's overacting and all the all the
I really like him in
all
it. I think
you're a son of a bitch, Jeff. You're a son of a bitch. You've
Woody Harrelson's
you've become a curmudgeon.
He's the gravity of actors.
You're a curmudgeon.
You don't like Gravity.
I fucking hate. Oh, you
didn't like Gravity. He went off on it for
Gravity
a million minutes.
Sucks. Gravity sucks.
It was all from a...
Watch it again. Make him... Dan, you're a writer.
It's not. I'm a writer. I'm not an aerospace engineer.
No,
damn it, Jim.
The science flaws in it are totally... Like, who gives a fuck? What's a lightsaber? I don't give a fuck. Tell me the rules. Make them up. Yeah, there's sound in space. If you say so, George Lucas, like, maybe tell a story. There's no fucking movie in that movie. It's just a bunch of stupid...
It could have happened anywhere.
It could have been called Driveway.
But they could have made a Driveway movie. I don't understand why that makes sense.
They could have made a Driveway movie. It would have been just as good or bad.
No, it wouldn't have been.
It would have been worse.
No, you're right. It would have been worse only because the only thing good about that movie is that it happens in space.
But that's a lot of great thing to happen in a movie.
Certainly. Then
space.
Give the cinematographer an award.
They did. Good.
But don't give anybody else an award in that fucking movie because the movie fucking stinks. It stinks. Nothing happens. Make a movie about Lost in Space. It's exciting material. And it
Aaron keeps telling me I'm not a feminist just because I keep saying Sandra Bullock's ass looks great at 50.
Listen, they knew that her ass looked great. That's why
I know it's
they...
computer generated. Yeah, her ass was computer.
But not her whole ass. That's like
I just that movie.
Sure. No,
they didn't computer generate her ass. The end of the movie.
You can airbrush cellulite and stuff or whatever, but she I'm saying I don't know, I'm making a joke now because it irritates Aaron because I keep saying like I'm a feminist because I'm like you go girl. It's funny to me. I don't know. I think the definition of feminism has become very funny because it's about you consume media along with everyone else, and then based on whether you think the frozen lady should have like worn one outfit or another, you can call yourself a feminist. People on Tumblr write things, and they go like, "Oh, Britta's the betrayal of." I just think it's funny that we all consume media like a bunch of fucking disgusting. Larva, like sucking on these tubes that come from the Ministry of Propaganda, and the difference between a so and so and such is people who go, "This tastes like vanilla. Nah, I got a shamrock one." I think it's silly. I don't think it's revolutionary to post an emoji of an eye roll after something that you didn't like on Deadwood. I don't think that counts as progress.
Yeah, as contributing.
Yeah, but. Gravity's not a good movie. Frozen, also.
Did you float away in space for that
would that I had, Kumail. Would that I had.
I did like it. I had a great time watching it.
I thought it was gorgeously shot, and it was very sexy and good-looking and technically wonderful. I just think that they wasted an awesome opportunity to tell a story about what that might be like. Thank you. Beefsteak Bill's on my side.
All right. The elephant in the room is Spencer, once again, taking the week off. He's got Kumail status now. He comes and goes as he pleases.
We have a chair over there. Like the.
It
the,
seems
the,
like a... The there's a roll of packing
Mel,
tape on
Mel
it.
When Mel Blanc died, and there's that photo of the microphone. With nobody there.
I don't want to... Should Ice-T take you guys through a little two-person adventure?
Well, it's 9:49 right now.
So. I can do it in 9 minutes.
All right, let's do a quick side thing.
Unless you have a better idea.
No, I think we should. Let's do a little. Anyone want some Ice-T D&D real quick before we get out of here?
I could do an Oscar rap. Oscar rap.
Well, why not do both?
Oscar rap goes anywhere.
Okay, all right. You want a beat here?
Shouldn't you do that to close the show? Oscar?
Well, let's see if it closes the show.
All right, go for it.
Look, if we close the show here, then we all, the sooner we get to go back and rent Gravity on DVD or Blu-ray.
Let's see if the Oscar rap can close the show. But if it doesn't, then we'll...
Ice-T.
Yeah. Oscar rap, yeah.
Get those hands together, everybody. Man who wrote Hugh Jackman's Emmy Award-winning Oscar-winning songs. Give you an Oscar rap. Set your phasers on fun.
Sandra Bullock sits stranded in space. She doesn't know what to do. She's got a can of mace. She's got a spray her tubes all around. George Clooney got a fucking mama like my name was Mickey Rooney. Got a thing around my foot. Got the earth in the distance. I fucked your mama like my name was Hervey Instance. All right. Okay. All right. Wait. That's obviously... You can see the writing on the wall there. I'm going to keep making up new last names.
To rhyme. Yeah. To rhyme with... Like, and the name you made up was Hervey Instance. Yeah. Neither of those is the name. The first one could easily have been a name. Yeah,
Dan, what we haven't done is you accepting an award. What award would you accept?
Best person.
Best person. All right. Well...
Best rap in a major motion picture.
Best. Somebody in the audience yelled.
Best rap, and I'll do each rap for each of the nominees too.
All right.
So, but you and Kumail have to present them.
But you pick.
Okay.
Who we are.
This is going to be the ultimate improv bit. Okay. You and Kumail are the
presenters. You pick
for the best rap. Okay.
And Dan, you announce us who
you
we are.
You throw it to each clip. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right.
Dan, be the announcer.
Okay.
And he's going to say who we are.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Presenting the award for Best Rap in a Motion Picture, here are Dr. Smith and Mr. Pickles.
I want to be the doctor.
You know, Mr. Pickles, when I was a boy,
Wrap was a thing that you put on food when you wanted to store it for another day.
I remember the first time I heard one of these talk songs. I thought it was a bunch of bullshit. But now there's a whole category, so...
And the nominees for Best Rap Song in a Major Motion Picture are Mr. Fistabutt in Gravity.
Yo, yo, can't fly. I'm gonna float through the outer space sky. I can see Africa below me, but I can't puke and I can't even pee. I'm Sandra Bullock in the house and my name is Space Lost. I fucked your mama because my name is Bob Hoss.
I don't know if that one's gonna win. I don't know if that's gonna win.
Next nominee is the Butt Candle Remix from Wolf of Wall Street.
Yo, butt candle, light in the handle. I got a wick inside my rectum. I fucked your mama so hard I stuck a rectum. It seems like the same word, but I fucked your mama so hard my dick was a turd. I put it up.
Very moving. Very moving.
Brad Pitt and the Funky Bunch from 12 Years a Slave.
Yo, yo, slavery's wrong. Yo, that's the name of this song. I'm Brad Pitt and I'm here to say I'd like to deliver your letter today. You can trust me, I'm a good white man. I'm gonna do right, man. Let's finish this gazebo, but Chibo Johnson is coming by later.
Our next nominee is Maybe Slavery Wasn't So Bad from 12 Years a Slave.
Hey, whoa, hey, yo, hey, whoa, hey, it saved money.
And Ice-T in Snowman Titties is Mighty Cold from Frozen.
Oh, shit. These globes, push them together. Frontal lobes, gonna ice-capade, gonna go to my dick. I wanna suck your titties till the saliva's slick, but then it freezes, my tongue's stuck on it. I fucked your mama so hard, my name is Henry Bonnet. Yo, yeah, gangster rapper. Put my tongue on your little nipple. I'm gonna put my hand and it starts to slipple down. I make up words. Yo, my dick is like a turd.
Boy, that's a... Well, that's a, I'm just in the audience. I'm on the edge of my seat. I don't know what's... I don't know who's gonna win.
All right. Should we...
And the...
And the Oscar for Best Rap Song in a Major Motion Picture goes to...
Ice-T for Snowman Titties is Mighty Cold from Frozen!
Yeah!
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. All right, sweet. This is good to hold this award. It's made of gold, but not the kind that's important. In 1938, Amanda T. squirted a fetus out from her vagina into the world. And its hand immediately grabbed a microphone. What came next was kismet. I recorded my first album in 1948. And I've been kicking out the jams ever since. Charlton Heston tried to stop me and couldn't. I was in Trespass, New Jack City. I had a featuring appearance in Mr. T's comic book, which I didn't agree to initially, but signed off on later after I saw it. I digress. You know what? AIDS is bad. Wait, hold it. Oh, shit. Yo, AIDS is bad.
Yo, the worst disease I ever had. It attacks your stem cells and gets in your white cells.
Thanks for coming to Harmontown, everybody.
I got your T cells in all your HIV. It's the
Camille
worst
Nanciani,
place you can ever be.
Sam Chang.
Needs to be healthcare.
Adam Goldberg.
Yo, go up the golden stair.
Bassett,
to the heaven
Tyler
where there's too
Giffen.
Many angels. Too many wings and too many spangles.
This show's dedicated
my
to
friend
Kevin Ramis, everybody.
Everybody's going to be at the gate. Yo, AIDS. Yo, AIDS is bad. Best worst disease I ever had. Gets in your blood and makes more of itself.
You're allowed to leave.
I want to put HIV on the shelf. There's too many angels in heaven today. I want to stick up for the gays. It's in a fucking bad disease. Yo, get it with ease. No, but you shouldn't. Don't get it.
Wait, you're all allowed to stand up and walk out of the building.
No. Can't leave. If you leave, you love AIDS. Yo, AIDS rap.
That's not true.
AIDS rap because I'm here.
I say,
my name is Ice-T, and I'm going to rap all day. Going to rap till midnight for the next 2 hours. AIDS is my lyrical flower. It's going to grow up from the soil
of
my mind.
Please exit out the back of a
dropping science is what you will find.
Ice-T,
and I'm rapping about AIDS. Going to put it in the garbage called Rubbermaid. Going to lift the cover, put it inside. Fuck your mama till her butthole was wide. What's this bitch whispering to you? What's she think she's gonna do? Ain't nobody gonna leave.
Harmontown, the movie's coming out of South by Southwest this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yo, AIDS is bad. Yo, worst disease that you ever had. Yo, AIDS is bad. It's the worst disease that you ever had. Number one killer of the best people. Church, open the steeple. Let them inside. Put your butthole open wide. You got AIDS is bad. You got worst disease that you ever had.
Why is nobody leaving?
Get a cure. Got to make you up. Got Ice-T is the number one.
It's sort of weird.
Original gangster.
Stockholm syndrome is going on.
AIDS gets a frown. Yo,
he's a bad entertainer.
It's Oscar night.
He's doing it wrong.
Red carpet for AIDS tonight. You gotta red carpet for AIDS. Get an award. Fuck your mama with your fingers of sword.
Red carpet for AIDS.
Gotta red carpet for the AIDS tonight. You gotta.
Oh. Show's fucking over.
All right. Thank you. Come to Harmontown at South by Southwest. Tell all your friends.